This week's episode of Bonfireside Chat is brought to you by Harrison Ross.
Oh, yeah. Harrison Ross.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Different Ross.
Yes. There can be only one.
Yeah.
No, there could be several. You're cool.
Crisis on Infinite Ross.
Yes. And this is brought to him because he donated to our Patreon campaign.
Yeah. You can do that as well if you'd like. You can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You get cool stuff. You get your name read out at the beginning of the episode. That's fun.
Yeah.
And it helps us out a lot. Makes the show not cost money. We buy new equipment. We're doing a live show for Watch Out for Fireballs in a couple months. All these things are made possible because of generous support of viewers like you.
Yeah. So go there, give it a shot, take a look and see what the which rewards speak to you. And even if you can't donate, we totally understand and we appreciate you listening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.
Good iron in these parts. An old king even used it to build a castle. But the thing was too heavy. It slowly sank into the ground. Fire spouted from the earth, and the place turned into this. At least, that's what I'm told. What a bad story, eh?
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
I am Bob Mackey.
And you're listening to Bonfireside Chat. It is a cursed favorite.
Yes, and this week we are talking about Iron Keep and Belfry Soul. And as you heard, we're joined by Bob Mackey of Retronauts and US Gamer. Hey, Bob, thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me back. I love Dark Souls, and I love your podcast.
Oh.
You will always have a home here, Bob.
Yes.
Anytime, we'll make you a copy of the key. We'll hide it in a big dog turd.
I need to already put my Bloodborne reservation in.
Yeah, you definitely got that. Well, based on how little we know about Bloodborne, we'll just pencil you in and like a placeholder, like the, you know, the creaking abattoir or something like that, and then just, you know, assume that there's going to be something like that in there.
I don't want to be on the Blighttown episode of that, though.
Yeah, whatever Blighttown they do. Well, Viv's got that unlock. So
yeah, that'll.
Oh right, yeah. Sorry about that.
I don't want to
on that territory.
Yeah. I don't even necessarily think that she appreciates it anymore. Like, I just think that it just, wanted to be on the, we joked about it once and then we went with it because we love our cycles.
Yes, we do.
Bonfireside Chat.
We are creatures of habit and tradition.
Yeah. But as we mentioned, Bob writes for US Gamer and he is on the excellent retro games podcast, Retronauts, and also writes for Something Awful, frequently my favorite front page stuff.
Oh, thanks so much. I do try.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. And recommended. And he's been on the show before.
Yeah.
So you guys are all familiar with
that. I've been on all of your shows, I think. Most of them.
Yeah. Our flagship shows at the very least.
We'll have to get you on an Abject Suffering at some point.
Yeah.
We'll come up
with
something.
Yeah, I would love that. I actually, that's one of my favorite shows of the week.
Yeah. Well, if you have a favorite bad game, let us know. Planning the future.
You guys have done a lot of my favorite bad games so far, so I have to look into that.
Yeah, it's one of our favorites, too.
Yeah, open invitation.
Yep.
So what did we do last week, Cole?
Well, we walked through the Harvest Valley, and we climbed to the top of the Earthen Peak, killing Baneful Queen Mytha and her head. And now we take a paradoxical elevator into what may or may not be, the bottom of a volcano or the top of a volcano. I don't know.
Yeah. Could we, since that's the first thing... That's coming up, we should probably address it because people are really passionate about that elevator.
Yes, they are. It is the wedge.
I mean, I can sympathize, but I like how much this level is a video game level. It feels like you're in Bowser's castle.
Yeah. You're just going to see a Mario Kart zip through.
Yeah. It's got the turtles and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll get into it, but the lore feels so separate from the rest of the game. It just feels like it's like a little Twilight Zone episode happening in front of you that is just like a little parable. And I guess there are a lot of little stories like this within the game, but it just feels such a an essential narrative segment of the game, at least.
Yeah, and it's definitely like the most apparently, it's the most apparent different kingdom. Like, you feel like you are apart from Dranglik here.
Yeah. Yeah, we had talked about that, like the kind of theme of rulers, you know, not getting what they want or getting what they want too much. Mm-hmm. And this whole streak of episodes, because if we go, you know, Harvest Valley and then how the Huntsman's Copse reflects on this. Like, you do get a picture of this kingdom, but it's weird because it's not, like, so lore heavy in backstory. It's like, I think you said it off air, Cole, where it's like, it's heavy in premise, you know, and that disconnectedness really shines through, because the whole premise is one solid story, like the story of this guy who reacted this way to the undead curse and then did this thing, like, could be a separate little Souls game in and of itself.
Yeah, or a separate DLC, which is kind of what we're seeing happen throughout all these that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we have a huge caveat to put on this. So this episode is coming out the Sunday before the Crown of the Iron King DLC comes out. Mm-hmm. Gary and I have not played it. And so there's probably going to be some things that come to light in that we're not going to address. So all that we ask is recognize that fact and be kind to us.
Well, I'm going to throw like a real quick writer on that. Maybe, because I didn't feel like the last DLC shed that much light on the gutter. Like, it was an interesting area in and of its own right, but it seemed fairly unrelated as far as I can tell, other than like, what, you know, this could be the ruins of this, but not so directly like. Well, you know, so it maybe won't, maybe it'll be disconnected. Maybe it won't actually have any reflection on what we talk about this episode.
Yeah. And Bob remains silent.
Yeah. But Bob has played.
I have played the second DLC, so I don't want to say anything at all. I'm reviewing it, so I'm not like, I didn't steal it. I didn't, you know, get it illicitly. I am playing it for review.
What do we know about this kingdom though?
Yeah, so it was ruled by a very vain guy. I guess he has a name. I forget what it is. It's like the so-and-so's idol. Let's look here. Spiky Iron Room leading up to, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like Einyi or something like that. I guess that's my speculation as to what his name is. He loved power. In fact, he loved power so much he amassed a...
More power.
Wilson.
Or iron.
Yeah. So he was all like, yeah, get me all them troops and get me all that armor. And let me armor my castle. And he armored his castle so much that it sunk deep into the earth, or maybe into the mountain that it was on top of, creating a volcano. Again, geography, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And it sunk and awakened this crazy metal demon that killed him, and his corpse became this vessel for the Icarus Earth. Or the Bloody Earth. And the old Iron King demon is here, kind of swimming around in the lava.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we know, like I said previously, we know that, he was, in addition to being vain, was a bit of a sadist, given that he set up all these kind of torture areas for the undead. Yeah. And he has some kind of, him or his son have some kind of relationship to Mytha.
No.
And it's a little bit of speculative as to which person the queen is actually the queen to.
Right.
So
I love how this castle is essentially the library on every single college campus. You know, that urban legend, the architects didn't plan for the weight of the books, so it's sinking a foot every year.
Oh, yeah.
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 Also, I heard that if your alone knight kills himself, then the Iron King will give you straight A's for all term.
Yeah. And by straight A's, he means, I'm on fire. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It is super, super lovely. Like Bob mentioned that before, but this is like Bowser's castle. Like, it is like a house of fun. Mm-hmm. It is full of trips and traps and cricket cracks and wiggity whacks. It is a goofy, goofy area. Yep. And fire theme.
So the lava level. It seems like this guy took the undead curse as an excuse to have fun, just to cut loose and just indulge in all of his, you know, horrible fetishes.
Torture fetishes.
And I don't know if that explains the level design of these of the area, though. You know, it does feel like Sense Fortress, but there was a purpose.
Yeah,
like,
why?
Sense Fortress was gamey for a reason. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got nothing. I have no idea why. Like, the only thing I thought of is that maybe some of the structures that we're walking on seem trappier because they were never meant to be walked on.
Yeah.
Like, we're actually walking through like catwalks and infrastructure, and the actual floor has sunk.
Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah.
This could just be the very tippy top of a massive castle.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. so like these you know, trap doors and stuff that he has are actually, you know, I don't know, like rain sluices or something. I don't know. Like, yeah. You know, lava levees, like some kind of specific thing that was had some other purpose.
Yeah. Like when you're first breach out into this area, you know, at the front of the keep, you're looking around and you see this whole place is like surrounded by parapets, like walls. This is as though An Orlando was filled up to the brim with lava. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The lava is the floor and also everything else.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, it's covered with this, like, you know, like chains and huge plates and you know, statues and stuff. And it just, it's like, is this the most metal, the area in Dark Souls? Is this more metal than Demon Ruins?
It's pretty metal.
I think you could take a screenshot of those front gates and just make it an album cover. You
like
know?
Just Megadeth just, in front of
get
it.
Get some gothic font on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have a mod whenever you die, it just says Megadeth. And then like, if you die there in Kingdom, you just screenshot it. Bam.
What do you mean I didn't block that attack? Yeah. Yeah. So what I love about those chains is it appears that they are like a hastily thrown together afterthought to try and maintain the structural integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like don't move or anything. Like, yeah.
But all just, my stuff's here.
Yeah. Just chain it up. Yeah. Yeah. It's also, I love how between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2, they made it so lava doesn't burn your eyes out. Because can you imagine playing this area with like Demon Ruins style lava?
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just
right.
Your face the entire time.
Yeah.
That would be unacceptable.
It's nice because you can actually see the geometry. This is a pretty area, you know, because of that, not in spite of it. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have that bonfire and you walk on up and you're going to see a bunch of treasures out in the lava or in like little platforms that lead to it, which is a controversial thing about this area. These really hard to get treasures because there's no way to be immune to lava in this game. You can only pump your fire resistance enough to survive to get them. And which I've never really done. Appropriately enough, they're mostly pyromancies.
Yeah.
And I haven't done like a pure pyromancer build in the game, so I haven't really needed to go after these things. But I tried a couple times and just died, you know, when I was right next to the bonfire and it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. There's some kind of like joke you can make of like, you know, the black box jokes. Why don't they just make the entire plane out of the black box? Why don't they just write pyromancy spells on everything so it doesn't catch fire?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These scrolls aren't going up. Am I right, guys?
Yep. There's no such thing as global warming. And this bridge here, which is like a huge PvP hotspot.
Yeah.
And a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, so I was about to say, you know, because we're going to talk about the dragon covenant here, like that. Oh, wow. It really seems like the dragon covenant works in this game. And I think that this bridge is the only reason that I believe that, because I see a lot of dragon icons, but I don't see them outside of here. So I think that they just congregate. This is a makeshift arena.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense since the leader of the covenant's right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get there and you run to the first enemy of the area, the Alone Knights or Alon Knights. Here's a thing that makes these guys. So I just finished the game with Whipfest. I haven't done the DLC yet, but this is the hardest part of the game on Whipfest, because if you don't have something that does good poise damage, these guys are motherfuckers and a half. Like, these things are so hard if you can't stagger them.
I just played through it with my New Game Plus character really quick, and I was like, this was a lot more difficult when I did not have all of this, you know, poise-breaking weaponry at my disposal. Mm-hmm. I just remember, you know, constantly bashing against them and not being able to get a stun at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just quick. You know, they attack really quickly. They're kind of like, they have like an Eastern flair to them.
Yeah.
They're a little bit like samurais, especially the ones kind of pull the sword out.
Mm-hmm. And those swords, they are not native to this land. Those are kind of made by these craftsmen who came over and were being entertained by the Iron King and his crazy bacchanalias as this, you know, place sunk into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He used to invite people from, you know, foreign lands to come entertain him, which explains some of the, you know, that's probably where, you know, Jester Thomas comes from, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first major NPC that we'll run into.
Yeah.
I don't want to get here. But, yeah, these guys are tricky. And they're positioned. This area has a lot, I thought, in common with the first area, the last DLC, and Shrine of Amana, in that, like, the enemies are positioned to cover each other.
Yeah.
You know, so you engage one and it's very easy to slip into the aggro radius of the next one and such. So they don't quite chain pull, but they are kind of watching each other's backs.
Yeah. And they very quickly switch from katana to their ranged attack. It's more of a factor in the next area, but they definitely feel more strategic than most of the regular like rank and file soldiers you're going to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you are basically being plinked at by archers after you get past an initial part of the stage. There are always archers to worry about.
Yeah, it's when I first played through this, I think I sent you a text call where I was like, "Oh, they mix sends with the archers from Anor Londo. Fuck you guys, like fuck you game." Which is what it feels like. And now, like all the areas in Dark Souls, I can get through pretty consistently, but yeah. Kind of before you learn the tricks, it's real tough.
Yeah, before I learned the tricks of this area, this was the hardest place in the game. I got to it relatively early, but I got so discouraged by it that it ended up being one of the last, great old ones I conquered. Right?
Yeah, I think objectively it's one of the hardest areas in the game, which is frustrating because as we'll know in a little bit, like it has the Dahl Ember here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to start fucking around with your equipment in that way. You know, you have to get through this kind of difficulty wall, and there's actually a way to, I mean, this is jumping ahead a little bit, but there's a way to jump to that ember without going through everything.
Yeah.
It is hard to do, but I pulled it off, and I've done that for some runs where I don't want to actually be strong enough to take on the Iron Keep. I just want to throw some poison onto my weapon or something.
Hmm. Yep. So. At least you don't have to beat the, the Flame Lurker to get it, you know?
Yeah.
You can actually do suicide runs to get there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Do you think that those swords came from Hade? I think that there's a really good argument to be made for that because
they're lightning swords.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying desperately to draw connections between these different areas and try and establish some kind of like timetable. I understand that it's futile, but it's at the very least when I'll call them when I see them. Right?
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we go down the right, we run into the only real NPC in this area.
Yeah.
Magerold? How does he say it?
You know what? There actually is. I was about to say, nobody knows, but he definitely says his name. I say Magerold, but...
Yeah. Yeah, Magerold here, who's kind of an interesting NPC, who I feel like maybe at some point there was more to him than there is now. Because he's the... what's the name of the guy in Dark Souls 1? Who's the he's like, join me?
You know, he's like classes. A Domhnall of Xena.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He's like, this game's Domhnall. Yeah,
yeah.
Just like a goofy, treasure hunter who just likes oddities and adventures around the land. But he has some like kind of interesting bits that make it seem like hint at he's more than he is.
Right. Weirdly, on the Wikidot wiki for Dark Souls 2, they speculate that he is Jester Thomas.
I've read that on like a Reddit post or a GameFAQs thing, and there's not very much for that other than that he sells the equipment.
Yeah.
You know?
I missed that conspiracy theory, but I did notice he sold a bunch of Jester stuff today when I was playing through it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he sells a different set too, so does that make him...
Yeah, is he actually a thief? Yeah. I think that's the other set he sells. Or a bandit, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me? Like,
yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I do not necessarily buy that he is Jester Thomas.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of interesting that he sells the carvings. You know that that he somehow dug those up as well.
Yeah, he's been to Lordran.
Yeah, if they are,
those are from the DLC of Dark Souls 1, correct?
Yeah. What's his name? The giant archer. Yeah, Go.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Gah.
we don't want to start that again.
Let's not get into that. Just reference that episode, or the appendix for that episode.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Jester set a lot. Like if you have like a heavy chest plate, but you don't have a lot of room for extra weight, like you just kind of get these special effects. Like the Jester set, each piece has a cool special effect. And most characters I have will wear the Jester's tights because you can't see them under a lot of the armor, which is nice because they look ridiculous. But they just give you automatic cat ring without having to take up a ring slot.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. And the helmet protects against critical hits, I think.
Oh.
Which is really good. Or one of the items protects against critical hits. So you can't be riposted or backstabbed. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's really cool equipment. Like I like the novelty equipment a lot in this game.
Yeah. They really designed some of this with fashion souls
and
in mind, I think. Yep. So the cap raises item discovery, and the robe is what stops critical hits.
Ah.
Yeah. And the gloves increase the number of souls. So, like, this is all replacing rings.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want, you can just wear this set, and then if you were going to go no armor, it has kind of a high dexterity requirement, I think. Mm-hmm. So to wear these gloves, it takes 14 dexterity. I don't know how that works, but the, you know, if you have the build for it, like, it's a good way to do a light build, I think.
Yeah. That's something we never really addressed, did we? And it was brought up shortly after we started the show, or shortly after the game came out, that passive equipment has dex or has stat requirements.
Yeah, and scaling.
Yeah,
like some. Yeah, we didn't mention that, but that should have been in our like 11 key differences.
Yeah,
episode or what have you.
Because I didn't notice it until somebody brought it up. Because interface.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was really on the top of my mind, and then it just kind of worked its way into my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest thing about this guy, he gives a really nice little bit of hinting about Benhard.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hey, that guy with the sword. There's a lot of legends about fake swords out there. A lot of legendary swords out there. I don't think it's a real sword.
I've seen some in my time.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't know what his connection is to Benhard, and we certainly don't fucking know what his connection is to the Dragon Covenant.
Yeah.
Other than he's like interested in it.
Yeah. I can see a petrified Dragon Age being an Iron Dragon Age.
Wow. Yeah. Well, the Dragon Age started petrified.
Burn. I can see that being like an object of obsession for somebody, especially if it does have like an inherent magic to it. This just kind of feels like, oh, we have to put this covenant on somebody, and maybe it doesn't make sense to hide it behind, you know, to once more hide this behind an optional area.
Yeah. It's a consideration in making the covenant work better, I think.
Yeah.
But it's less satisfying because it definitely feels, you know, staple onto him. I was reading some insane conjecture that was saying that this was actually the dragon that Aldia took the soul from, the ancient dragon, and put into him. And that's why he likes the egg and he's wandering around. Like, it's just crazy. Like, people are really trying to make this guy fit into shit.
There's one of those in the appendix that we're going to read, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry if I just called you crazy. I didn't mean it as an offense, but
yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about crazy fantasy dragons. We're all mad here.
Yeah.
So like what do you think, Bob? I mean, just do you have any conjecture on?
I don't as you guys feel, I feel like there was more to this character before some content was cut, and the covenant attachment does seem very like grafted onto him. Like, we need to put this somewhere. This is the only NPC in the area. Let's just do it. I don't see like any real justification for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of the few merchants who doesn't go back to Majula too.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah. There's something keeping him on the sinking ship.
Yeah, he's just hanging out in the place that's going to sink into the lava.
Yeah,
eventually. Well, he's playing on the Titanic.
It's a hard decision, you know, deciding how you'll die.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, he wants control over his own fate.
Yeah,
he's like a Walter White in that respect.
Yeah,
you know,
he wants a peaceful season. Lava death.
Yeah, like the kinds from the end of Resident Evil 5.
Not it's even like... better than drowning. Drowning in lava is even more peaceful than drowning in water.
Yeah, you get time to give a thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You have comforting to. Comforting embrace. I mean, yeah.
I like to think that if I were to drown in lava, first of all, like the series of life decisions I had to make for me to drown in lava, I don't know what they'd be, but I like to think I had the presence of mind to give a thumbs up instead of just screaming out mom and, you know, recanting my atheism, which is probably what would happen. But I would like to think that I could give a thumbs up. So,
you know, just because it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. And here's the point where I will, point out that you would actually catch fire and die well before you touch the lava.
Oh yeah.
So. Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I think you'd stop breathing before you hit the lava, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The part of the reason why the end of Resident Evil 5 was so fucking stupid.
Yeah, and most video games ever, including this one.
Yeah.
I think lava is literally being splashed on Chris, and he's like, "Ugh, yeah, it's kind of hot.
Oh, I need to eat this herb, and that'll cure these third degree burns. My bones are showing, but
yeah, fifth degree.
This herb, yeah." Yeah, fifth degree burns.
Like, yeah, it's when you it's can going see down to through. My marrow. Yeah.
Yeah. It just immediately goes down to my soul as being exposed by this fire. Yeah, this is a frustrating NPC who I just like. He is as frustrating to me as Carhillion of the Fold, but I like him more. Like, I like his voice acting more and stuff. So he gets a pass because he seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
But he's also, there's just not that much to him.
Like Creighton's the latter guy, right?
No, Gilligan.
Oh, Gilligan. Sorry, Gilligan. Yeah. Like he's like Gilligan in that he seems just to be in it for the money, but he's more. I don't know. He just seems more down to earth about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's incredibly affable, and he doesn't have those, you know, hints of like losing his purpose. In fact, the only time he shows any kind of like mental unsoundness is if he sees that you have the egg and you don't give it to him. He kind of freaks out. Like, goes, no. Then think about it again. Like, it's almost like a hostage negotiation or something like that. He wants that egg. God damn it.
He never attacks you or anything like that.
Right, right. Although, how cool would that be?
That would be cool. Like, if he gets the egg from you, and then when you die and come back, he just runs the Covenant.
Yeah.
Like, he has the egg now, and he doesn't need to kill you.
Yeah.
So you're kind of going through this first area. There's a giant bowl. Like, a bowl is the symbol of this king, you know, his symbol of power, that breathes fire, that has an interesting item under it, the Iron Key, and which unlocks a door way, way back in the second episode of the show, or third episode, the Forest of Fallen Giants outside the Last Giant's room.
Yeah.
Leads to the bottom of the Salamander Pit, which I've read this before, and I think somebody in our responses said this, but I buy it, is that this area was not originally supposed to be here and was supposed to be under the Forest of Fallen Giants.
Yeah, it seems to be very like a really weird connection there between the key and where it actually fits.
Yeah. And you think about those salamanders that are on the fire floor of the you know, the Forest of Fallen Giants, like oh, they crawled up from the Iron Keep that is sunk below the ground, and then this other kingdom, like 100 years later, just built a kingdom on top of it.
Yeah.
You know? That makes tons of sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that at some point that was probably in the cards.
As it stands, the only sensible connection between the two is that, you know, the fort, you know, where Drenglik made its last stand against the giants, was once held by Alon, and that's the only reason why the key is still here.
Yeah, because there are Turtle Knights.
Yeah.
There. And those are Alon's Turtle Knights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you could, you know, draw the connection that, like, oh, it did once belong to them, but, you know, Vendrick called in aid from Alon and the Turtle Knights, or somehow figured out how to, you know, through Aldia, again, and Aldia did it, you know, actually make these, because they're just armors that have been enchanted with souls.
Right, and that kind of, like, you know, creating golems and creating constructs is a theme in the game, and that's something that Vendrick figured out how to do.
Yeah.
So he could literally just be animating, you know, because I think that the ones that are in the Forest of Fallen Giants are rusted and old, and these ones are shiny and new. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right. You're correct.
Yeah.
In fact, the like when you equip that armor, they have the vastly different stats.
Yeah.
And durabilities and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, at some point the Turtle Knights were there. Maybe he just raised them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Alon never held that fort. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, those were just forces that Vendrick raised.
Yeah.
And, he raised them because they were there, because originally it was underground, you know? So that's the thing that makes the most sense to me. It doesn't tie it to Earthen Peak and stuff, but what that does that's interesting is that, like, we've spent a lot of time trying to struggle to connect Mytha to, you know, to the old Iron King and kind of make that make sense. And maybe it doesn't have to.
Right.
You know, maybe that was originally supposed to go somewhere else. Like, there was, or that was just supposed to be the terminus and we never knew who the king was.
Mm-hmm.
And this was originally somewhere else. So that kind of like, oh, who is she the queen of? Is it the Iron King? Is it the prince, you know, Prince Aegon or what have you?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it wasn't either.
And it's crazy, too, because somehow this feels like the longest strut of the
game. I think it's because it's the hardest strut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I guess actually, you know, it probably is the longest because it also it's three areas long, and the middle of the Brightstone Saldora thing is the Doors of Pharos, which you can just waltz through.
Yeah.
So this is three full areas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I have no idea, but these bowls. So what's crazy about this? You can grab that key.
Yeah.
Like you can do it. You're gonna die probably, but these bowls are controlled by a switch that you find much much later.
Yeah. Well, you can also, up above, like, there's a little stairway that leads to, again, just video gamey secret rooms and stuff, that has some water pots. And that's a gimmick of this level, where if you roll through these water pots, it boosts your fire resistance.
Yeah.
And you can do that and grab the key and survive pretty easily.
I don't think there are any hints as to that, the effect of that water, like no NPC dialogue, anything like that.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah.
We didn't have to figure
it totally
that.
Eluded me until someone, you know, until I read it on a wiki or something like that.
Same here. Between the poison goo from last episode and the and this right here, like, this whole fluid system is not talked about that much. even though it is totally a thing.
This whole fluid system.
By which I mean the notion of, like, there is goo that can be applied to your body that has an effect. Outside of, like, the most obvious example would be the oil in the Wharf, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's more of a real-world connection there, where it's like, if I douse myself in water and then walk into hot coals, I'm not going to be, you know, feeling pretty awesome about myself for the next 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that – or are you saying, Cole, that, like, this game has a thing where you can kind of have these states where you can be soaked in stuff?
Yeah, yeah. That's
you know, where you – yeah. The yeah.
That's what I am inelegantly saying, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I said it any more elegantly. Like, you get soaked in stuff.
You get all doused in stuff.
So what you're saying is you get soaked in stuff?
And that stuff does shit? What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on, Bob. This is fun. We're doing voices.
Getting drenched.
So this next area is huge, and we're just going to kind of hit some points of it rather than just kind of go step by step. Yeah. Because it really is like a fun house with sniper spots and tricks and traps, you know, as opposed to like a just kind of a linear line with set pieces. It kind of bleeds in.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, little bit on the non-linear side, and some corners are more eventful than others. Like, you know, as you're going along this, you know, these narrow pathways, you go back to the left, and there's really just a dude who's covering some, you know, just recovery items.
Yeah, yeah, just guarding that stuff for some reason. So yeah, so gamey. Like this area is super gamey. Like it doesn't even seem like in the Forest of Fallen Giants, like they looked like dead soldiers that were waking up as you approached them, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of fight you. And these guys are literally just guarding to keep you out.
Yeah.
You know, they have archers poised and aiming at places where you will be. It's super, super gamey.
They account for that in the fiction, though, like for why they've never given up or why they seem to be so steadfast. Like the Alon Knights are known for their loyalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And they're still like loyal to King Monster.
Yeah.
Kind of like when a Mega Man boss is just sort of just waiting for you to show up in a room.
Yeah.
He'd be going through that pattern even if you weren't there, but, you know.
Crash Man is known for his loyalty. If you read the armor description on Crash Man.
He is made of iron.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His music's pretty good, too.
Yeah. Crash Man's great.
Oh, really good.
Yes.
It's always not bad.
Right, it's always right there.
Yep. This JMR toy piano does me good.
There's this big drawbridge too that spans the entire middle of the area.
Yeah, yeah. And you can kind of on the left side of this, you can kind of lower that and make it a little bit easier. You don't have to, but you can.
Yeah.
And really, like the pro tip for this area is just draw guys to you when you're in safety. Like if you don't have a ranged attack, you're kind of fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to be caught fighting anyone up in the open because there's a very hard to get to archer who's covering you. And if you remember the Anorlando archers, these guys, you know, they have that same kind of knockback effect and there's lava everywhere.
Yeah.
So if you get hit by one of those, you're likely to die.
And you are on tiny bridges at some points.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very narrow platforms.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys actually even look a lot like the Anorlando Knights, especially the lieutenants or whatever they are, the Alon Knight commanders.
Yeah.
They kind of have that drawn appearance on their armor that looks like the silver set.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and those great bows are no fun. And this guy, he has coverage over the entire area. I've been hit by him in very implausible places.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like if I can't see him, he can't see me necessarily,
mm-hmm.
like the way that you want it to be, because there are angles that maybe you don't consider. I also think he maybe moves. I don't know that to be true, but it definitely seems like I could be safe, and then I am all of a sudden not safe. And I might just have not, you know, might have just stepped out. Mm. Of something, but I wonder if once he gets aggroed, if he can move, you know, reposition to shoot from another place. Don't know that to be true.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you just have to. You really have to keep moving in this section because you're never safe until you actually take that guy out.
Yeah, yeah, which is really satisfying when you get to do it. but you have to like to do it. You have to cross that bridge, which we talked about, and then jump over a set of lava with a guy behind you who is an archer.
Mm-hmm.
As well, and if you get hit in the air, then that's it for you.
Yeah.
And then make a fairly tricky jump down to get that doll ember and make your way up to this guy.
Yeah.
If you can't, if you don't want to take him out, you know, trade arrow shots with him, which is kind of a losing game. Like his arrows are more powerful than yours.
Yeah.
So,
is this the only Zvi Hunter in the game?
It's the only one that's a treasure item.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, I think that like spiders drop them. back in Saldora for some reason.
Yeah. They do, yeah, they do.
Yeah. So they're incredibly rare, except, you know, spiders are made of them.
It's pretty intense. Yeah. There's a Pharaoh's contraption up there that does the exact same thing as that last Pharaoh's contraption in Earthen Peak.
You waste my fucking lock zones, you mean? A healing one.
I could see it like being, okay, I'm going to clear the way to Smelter and then go up there and re-up, but you know, so I don't waste an Estus flask. But
yeah,
that's a real stretch.
Yeah. So the Dull Ember, like, which we talked about that before. This is the item that says the premise of these games in the description. Do you have that handy with your silent keyboard, Cole?
Yes, I do.
Like, I could type it out, but it'll be super loud.
Yeah. Also, us talking about me searching for it makes it it ruins the illusion that we have.
What are you using? Lycos, Alta Vista,
you know,
Yahoo,
Dogpile,
web crawler, actually, because spiders are made of Zyhunters.
Zyhunter.
God damn it! Why is this Vextra Life Wiki the first thing that always comes up?
I hate you, Vextra Life.
It's the worst.
I think you might have set it to home.
Yeah. Yeah, the entry for the Dull Ember for Vextra Life is homepage. I read it every morning.
It is my daily mantra. And that mantra goes, an ember radiating a dull light. This flame seems nearly extinguished. This flame seems nearly exhausted, but exhibits an eerie resilience. Perhaps this is its ordinary state.
There's Dark Souls for you.
Yep. Pretty much.
Like, we're perpetually in a state of twilight.
Yeah.
You know, this is how the world is. Like, you don't solve it. And the ending really lends itself to that, too.
Yeah.
You know, minor spoilers, but, like, you know, this is just how things are.
Yeah. Or, there's no fixing. Or because of the rule of conservation of drama, it's only interesting when we are wavering on the edge of lit and not lit.
Yeah. Yeah. So both the Age of Dark and the Age of Light are boring. It's the transitional period that we want. I have no idea why this is here, other than that, like, you know, it's just ember fire,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like, it doesn't have any more lore significance than that, you know, kind of thematic significance.
It might be why WoW always does RPGs in the summer, as like, oh, we had this exact same item in Stonefang Tunnel in Demon's Souls, so let's put it in the crazy lava place too.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I could see that being just kind of like a notion of symmetry.
Oh, like tradition.
Yeah. This is far enough in, and, you know, like, for as long as we've been talking about this game and for as far into it as we are, this is really only like the 2/3 mark.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, this is about the time when it would make sense to start being able to chop and screw your weapons, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though I often want to do it sooner.
Oh, for sure.
But the, yeah. And so on the right, there's also in the middle of this room, there's a gigantic room full of fire.
Yeah, I love
that has
that
a
room.
No fire, make fire go away lever. Or,
it's a valve.
Spinning, yeah, valve.
Yeah.
Which I have no idea what this room of fire is supposed to do.
It's
but,
a furnace. It's like a, yeah. It's, yeah, it's like a smelter almost.
Oh, ooh. Mm. Yeah, it very well could be a smelter.
Yeah. And I love how there are items in there, but it's all stuff that would logically or realistically not have burnt up. So the petrified dragon bone and titanite.
Yeah.
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 Just forged. Mm-hmm. But you can go this way if you're a pussy. But instead, you should go fight this optional boss.
Yeah, God.
He's super hard. Yeah, the smelter demon.
This boss that I didn't realize was optional and was the reason why I left this area for hours.
Yeah. Now, how did you react to this guy, Bob, when you first came upon this, bad boy?
I played through the game with miracles, so I was pretty overpowered at the time. Mm. And I did take on this area first, so I just did co-op, basically, to flatten him. But it took several tries. It kind of reminded me of the... who was the giant fire guy in Demon's Souls?
Flame Lurker.
Yeah, yeah, it did remind me of that, as to how many times it took me to actually take him down.
Yeah, he might be the hardest boss.
Yeah.
At least, pre-DLC.
for sure. I haven't beaten them yet. Huh? What?
I said, oh, wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Well. Sorry to inadvertently call you a pussy earlier.
No, that's fine. No, I recognize. I'm bad at video games, Gary. I know. I mean, like, everybody else. So this is my, like, second and a half playthrough of the game. And everybody else, I've been able to, you know, bounce, you know, it's like, oh, I beat Mytha in one go. Like, I beat, what's his name? Gigantic McSpider dude.
Yeah.
Johnny 12 Legs. I beat Johnny 12 Legs in one go when, you know, I was just about at wit's end with her at the start, you know, on my first playthrough. But even on this one, with my Dark Caster, the character that was designed to get me through it, get me through the game as quickly as possible to take notes for the show, I still have not been able to beat Smelter Demon.
Yeah, he's hard.
He's very aggressive, and it's a marathon, especially if you summon somebody else. And you know, if you're playing this offline, or if all you can find as companionship for this is Lucatiel, the damage that she does is not going to outstrip the extra HP he gets for, you know, you having company.
Yeah. I mean, if you do, like, I can beat him with just Lucatiel, but I have to be so aggressive because she will only hold his attention for so long.
Right.
You know, like, it's not, she doesn't do very much damage. She's just there to kind of tank. And you just have to hit him in the back a lot. But he changes targets really randomly.
Yeah.
You know, because he is so aggressive. Yeah. There's also, like, a game-breaking fucking annoying glitch. Not game-breaking, but there's a glitch where you can get stuck in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Here, if you roll into it, which you're going to be rolling because you have to dodge. Like, his third phase,
you have
to dodge.
I didn't know that was possible, but I saw it in a video today, and I was like, that can happen? I'm glad it didn't happen to me.
It's amazing that they haven't fixed it yet. Yeah. Like, we're on such a late calibration.
It still happens.
In the
game.
I think it is, yeah. Happened to me the time before last I played this, and it's just like, well, you're just kind of fucked, you know. You're just trapped, and he just burns you to death.
Yeah,
slowly.
Man,
yeah. I don't know, Bob. When you say you summoned, did you get like actual human help for this, or was it just?
Oh yeah, they were humans. Like, yeah. I think you guys actually play by yourself a lot. I hardly ever do when I'm fighting bosses. That's my I'm not good with the bosses, so I usually have at least one co-op human in the game with me at any time.
Yeah. It definitely helps with this guy. And it depends on what those humans are too. Like this, but I ended up giving up on my like Dex character I was trying to make because the game was just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just couldn't do it. And I finally got to this guy just by running past the knights because I couldn't stagger them and, you know, couldn't kill them. And I just could not beat Smelter Demon, you know, on a Dex character.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is just, he's too tough for that.
He misleads you because, you know, his fight has different phases, right? And so his first go, he has a very limited moveset, and really you just kind of have to get up close to him and, you know, just pray that you're not going to be hit by his sword. But very quickly he lights himself on fire, and then he lights his sword on fire. And during those transitions, he's pretty much invincible, so you can't get any hits in. And fire resistance in this game, it's very similar to lightning resistance in the first game in that not much gives you a resistance to it, right? Like there are only a couple of, you know, 100% fire resist swords in the game. And when I say couple, I think there might just be one with the Gurm sword, right?
Or you mean the shield?
Yeah, there we go. The shield.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is right before you can get infusion. So if you want to make one, you can literally just barely do it right before this.
Yeah.
There's some kind of flame resistant equipment stuff, and there are spells that work for it. But if you're not specced for that, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
And the shitty thing is, like, he does consistent fire damage to you just being close to him. Like, the game has finally decided that lava should hurt you when you're next to it. You know, it's like you're not quite as severe as poisoned, but like you're kind of a minor version of poisoned anytime you're engaged in melee with him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard.
Yeah, and this is, so like from a lore perspective, this is the demon that, you know, the Iron King stumbled upon when the castle started sinking.
Yeah, yeah. And which is interesting, you know, and it makes it seem like he is going to be like, when I kind of figured that out reading his soul and stuff before I fought the Iron King, I thought, oh shit, you know, like this guy was that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Iron King is going to be 1,000 times harder, like, and not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is definitely like kind of a non-gentle difficulty curve.
Yeah. I love the arena for this fight, actually.
It's, yeah. Other than the glitch that sucks you to the wall. Other than the fact that it's actually spinning like the Gravitron.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to just get centrifugal.
Is the Gravitron a universal thing, at least in the United States, at state and county fairs everywhere?
I think so.
Yeah. Should we explain it?
It's called the Rotor for me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And also the Hellhole.
The Hellhole.
It felt pretty edgy to go on a carnival ride with a real swear in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I kept going into the fuck bucket because of that exact reason.
He sounds insanitary.
Yeah. Yeah, it is that spinning carnival ride that sticks you to the walls.
Yeah, it's the UFO.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's the thing that like I could do when I was younger, and now you couldn't pay me $1 million to do it.
Yeah.
Because I know it would instantly make you
like on. Even getting on a swing is like, how did I ever do this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell the whole story again, but you can refer to like the two times I told it before when me and Elizabeth were on an early date and went on one of those fake roller coaster simulators, had to stop at 30 seconds in, and then spent 5 minutes on a bench, like theoretically, like. They go, well, I don't want to be gross or anything, but I might puke, you know, just kind of back and forth to each other from like 30 seconds of exposure of fake roller coaster.
Wow.
It's what you do. You spew. She sticks around. It was meant to be.
Yeah, it was meant to be. Yeah. I did puke, too. I puked on the way back in the car. Good story.
Yeah.
So you want to beat this guy. If you can, because you get access to a really convenient bonfire after him, and also a really fun little Easter egg, because if you go back to his arena, an old friend is there, the Pursuer.
Yeah,
you have to fight the Pursuer again. Yeah.
So because I've never beat this boss, I thought that that was a New Game Plus detail, so I left it out of the notes.
Yeah. No, he shows up in any new game.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's fun to fight in this kind of different arena if you relied on using the ballistas before. Mm-hmm. You can't do that again.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit tougher. Like, he's a little bit, you know, pumped up.
And there's no, like, narrative explanation for this, right? I mean, this is a very gamey area, so I figure that, like, hey, here's another thing that you fought before for no reason.
Like, the reason, what I was thinking was, like, he, you know, you can't actually kill him, and he is pursuing you. Like, we haven't figured out the pursuer why he pursues. Mm-hmm. But, like, all the areas he shows up, like, the fact that he is the only boss that keeps showing up, like, you know, you just temporarily put him back in his bottle, but he keeps coming back. God is what damn. I think of it as.
How awesome would it be if in Bloodborne there was a nemesis? I'm sorry, but I love that idea so much.
Yeah, and I think that's the closest thing this game has to it. And I remember we talked about it. I remember people guessing that that's what the Executioner's Chariot was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
When they showed that, like, it was just going to be something that chased you around levels, which would have been very cool.
Yeah.
So the pursuer does not come back anytime in New Game Plus, does he?
He does.
Yes.
Oh, he does. Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah. I've not got too far in New Game Plus because I am a coward.
it's awesome. Like, it's a really cool twist on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Great. Yeah. I'm kind of like out of the loop in New Game Plus stuff at this point.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, it is. It is a really hard encounter. Yeah. So after you fight him, you make your way into the. You also get the Epic Name Bro shield, the porcine shield.
Oh, yeah.
Here,
oh,
which yeah. is, yeah, that's, was made for him. Hmm. His symbol is a pig. But you get to this bridge where they introduce the ironclad turtle knights. and one of them, is keeping you busy while the other one bashes a hole in the floor to stop you from getting through.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But you can just run through.
I love, you can jump. I love their concept. Oh, we can't jump, so if we dismantle this bridge, he will obviously just fall to his death.
Yeah, they don't know what jumping is.
Yeah.
I was playing it today, and I noticed that occasionally they will just hit the bottom once, and it won't break, but they won't actually follow up with a second attack to break it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, just like, that's enough.
You don't get to break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always feel uncomfortable after they pound the floor and it's all deformed walking over it, because what if it just breaks?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a cool
detail. I was jumping over it a lot, and then I was like, I'll just test this out, and it was fine. So I'm like, oh, I guess it was never a threat. So
this episode of Bonfireside Chat is brought to you by Duckfeed.tv. And our wonderful store.
Yeah. So it's something we don't talk about an awful lot, but there is some merch and things you can buy related to our various programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can buy, I put out an album on there. We have a live show, Watch Out for Fireballs. There is a Kick and Rad poster that my friend Noah designed. Mm-hmm. There are some digital and physical fun packs, I believe.
A secret episode of Abject Suffering about JJ and Jeff.
Oh, yeah. A couple of premium episodes that are cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the and the reason why, you know, those aren't on the regular feed is because people paid for them. You know, they were through Kickstarter and stuff. So we don't want to just give them away. But it's if you're a fan of the show, we think you'll like both those episodes a lot.
Yeah.
And should check them out. Mm-hmm. The Mario Kart episode, the premium episode, is specifically worth listening to because we're going to be doing a live show. Watch Out for Fireballs again soon. And you get to hear us be nervous in front of people. So it definitely has a different energy.
I went back and listened to it, and I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I also think, and I'm not saying this as some kind of nervousness dick measuring thing, but I think you were more nervous than I was, but it cleared up.
Yeah.
Like we sound more nervous in the beginning, mm-hmm. and then we sound less nervous as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So go there and check it out. And most of all, let us know if there's any merch that you think would be rad. I'm kind of always looking for opportunities of what else we could put in there. And if there's something you're like, oh my gosh, totally. Write in at the usual channels and let us know.
Yeah.
duckfeed.tv/store.
So you get to this area, this little landing, and we're going to make a brief detour because if you go left through a Pharaoh store, you can get to the tiniest area of the game, like the tiniest, you know, one of the tiniest areas.
Trying to winter.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Trying to winter does not deserve a title card.
Yeah.
But Belfry Soul.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I said there's only one NPC here, but I forgot about the little guardian dwarf guy.
Yeah, but he doesn't reveal a whole lot. And anything that he would have revealed, he, it was all dummied out. It was taken out.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to say something here. Mad props to Illusory Wall, because he hipped me to this gigantic Google Doc that was made with every piece of dialogue in, like, markered with its ID number and color coded based on based on if it's like in, if it's, you know, if it was cut out, etc. Basically a big data dump, because, you know, Illusory Wall does, you know, data mining on this stuff And yeah, that is incredibly useful. Gary, I received it after the previous episode. I will forward it to you for your editing purposes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been going through, I've been having to fucking knee deep in Fextra life trying to get this shit. Yeah, and I'd be damned if I give them one advertising cent. You know, the people who are behind that site are listening to this. Like, no offense or anything.
Yeah, but, no, just your shit's fucked.
Yeah. It's what it is I just look at the internet a lot on my phone. Mm-hmm. And it's so de-optimized for phones.
Yeah.
But yeah, Belfry Soul. This is the sister side to Belfry Luna, which we talked about way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And this is the princess's bell that is kept by the prince.
Yeah.
And it is just like a PvP zone.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have the gargoyles. It doesn't have its own boss fight. If they were going to throw in a Easter egg fan service boss fight against Solaire, this would have been the place to do it. And I'm kind of disappointed they didn't.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
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 So what I was thinking of, since this is on the top of another cathedral, what if they redid the centipede demon except on top of this, like they were going in Dark Souls 1? That would have been my fan service.
That would have been cool. I mean, I didn't want to fight the centipede demon again, but yeah. I would have gone through it. Mm-hmm. I was surprised there's so little here. Yeah. There's like some treasure and there's some black pandems to fight, and you can fight here if you want to do that kind of like tower defense, ring the bell.
Yeah.
You know, protect the bell mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, a lot of spices. Oh, we didn't say that with Magarold. He will infuse your spells.
Yeah, he's the guy who knows the secret of the spice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear is the mind killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all this stuff is here. I think the unique thing about this is this throws more phantoms at you, like different kinds. So there's the greatsword one. There's the dual Avalon guy who's wearing the mannequin mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just made a guy that can power stance Avalons. and that's fun, just throwing that out there.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Where does one procure Avalons, let alone two?
We get one of them in the Undead Crypt, and then it's not the Avalon, it was the repeating crossbow from the DLC.
Yeah
yeah,
I love that weapon.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Did you spend any time here, Bob, like doing stuff, or was it really just dip in, dip out?
Yeah, actually, when I reviewed the game, so there was no online when I was playing it. So when I went into it again, I kind of used this area as a, like, you know, just to, I never really get into PvP, but since it happens so often here that it's much easier to just, you know, have fun with it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did.
Yeah,
for sure. It's nice because you're on top of this roof. You actually have some view around here. You're not actually just like the walls of the castle are not blocking your sight, right?
Yeah. It's an interesting PvP area too, because of the uneven ground and the kind of sloped roofs and stuff. Mm-hmm. You can kind of like dive for cover and everything. Like when we do our PvP, whenever I figure out my PvP guy and we do an episode on that, mm-hmm. I will definitely spend a little bit of time here.
For sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's, I mean, what there is. Like, we talked a little bit about Prince Elkin and Ven before. You know, like Dave Control Live has a good video with some supposition. Mm-hmm. That seems mostly sound.
Oh, yeah, his video is great.
Yeah, Dave Klein's a good guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
So there's no other place to put this, so I will just express my disappointment and regret right now. It would be great if, similar to the Undead Parish, you could hear whenever somebody rang the bell.
That would be nice. Yeah,
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, everything is more complicated than you think. I'm not sure why that's not a thing.
Yeah, I agree. That would be awesome.
Yeah, like just bring a little bit more of a sense of foreboding to it, right?
Yeah, I would dig that.
Yeah,
for sure. And give you a hint that this was here, because this area is fairly hidden. Like, there aren't a lot of hidden areas in this game, but you know, it's behind a Pharos Lockstone, and you're not expecting to unlock a whole area. Mm-hmm. Getting through here.
And who's expecting a second Belfry?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, back to the Iron Keep. The this is the super fun house area with the lever that dips
really
people
is.
And the foot switches. I think there's a guy who does, I'll put in the show notes because I can't remember the name now, who just does gimmicky PvP and did like a fun Sun's Fun House PvP video.
Yeah.
Where it's just him, you know, killing people with traps and stuff. And it's
really
I'd
love
fun.
To see that. Yeah, those are great. Yeah, that and the catacombs.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite videos. Those catacombs ones.
Yeah,
dumping people off the. Yeah. This is pretty great because I can just imagine those knights going no.
as they sink.
Yeah, as they sink.
Yeah.
But it's pretty great because this like when you dip that down and then bring it back up, you don't really have a lot of an idea of how that's going to change the landscape of this level, right?
Yeah, well, because dipping it down denies you, you're dealing with two different hazards. You're either dealing with the soldiers or these bulls that breathe fire. But if you stick with the bulls, there's also a ladder that lets you reach this kind of hidden area of the game, which I did not find my first time through, which is pretty cool. Like, and it's pretty hard, like platforming stuff, like this huge rafters area.
Yeah.
There's this like, really, like this item that's like, oh, fuck you, I can't get that. You go up there, that's on the edge of a big pot of molten lava.
Uh-huh.
That's the covetous gold serpent ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So in this foundry room, you can kind of head down a little side path and go into a little cave and get the Chaos Storm pyromancy. They really go to great lengths to hide the pyromancy in this game.
Yeah.
It is nowhere near
accessible
as Dark Souls 1, probably for good reason, but...
Yeah,
I think
lots
in my first playthrough, I didn't even find the glove because it's just it's in the ship in oh god, help me out here, guys.
The
pirate town, yeah.
Yeah, no Man's Wharf.
I totally missed that chest. So I was like, oh, I guess there's no pyromancy in this game. So
yeah.
But people were selling me spells, so I didn't understand. So yeah.
Yeah, they tying the progression to the fire seeds is 100% like, oh, people were able to gank like crazy in PvP because of pyromancy.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have something just tied to souls and not tied to level. Mm-hmm. So that and soul memory, I think we're both kind of to answer that.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to do a pyromancer in this game. Like, pyromancy is still really powerful.
Yeah.
I should try that at some point.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what you would have to do to make it viable until you got that stuff.
Yeah, it would be hard.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. But. Yeah, that high road is pretty great because you encounter a unique mimic.
Yeah.
So if you're walking around thinking, okay, wooden chest, does it have a lock, does it not have a lock, you're not even like imagining that one of those guys is going to pop out from a metal chest.
Yeah. Yep.
which just shows that they're evolving and adapting.
They're back. It's a good way to go. If you don't go that way, which I think the non-going that way is probably the quickest way. I'm just kind of getting through it fast. You deal with some fire spouts and an Eternal Knight in this crazy hallway with a gate that you can drop, raise or lower. Mm-hmm. That definitely kind of lends itself to this was to control the flow of something. Mm-hmm. This was a rain irrigation system in the castle's roof, maybe, or something like that, before it became this way to trap you next to a Turtle Knight.
Or to guillotine a Turtle Knight.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
For me, the Souls games are always about little tiny moments, and this is one of my favorite in this game. Just that hallway was a lot gave me a lot of hell, but when I figured out how to get past it, it was really satisfying.
Yeah. I had a tremendous amount of trouble with these old ironclads because my first character was a sorcerer, and regular sorcery doesn't do that much damage to these guys. And just the fact that they put them around every corner, quite literally, really, really baffled my progress.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They're really hard unless you get the roll timing on them, because they if you run from them, that doesn't work. And they can flatten you if you try to block them. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be able to roll. If you can't do that, then they're very difficult.
Yeah. Combine that with the fact that I never got the second bonfire, and it took me a very long time to find the third up here. I kind of thought this was going to be another No Man's Wharf situation where you had to make the entire area in one run.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would be way worse than No Man's Wharf because these enemies are just so much tougher.
Right.
And No Man's Wharf is tough, at the level appropriate. So yeah, this is definitely a highlight of difficulty in the game.
Yeah.
You get past this area, you end up in this room full of spikes. There.
Don't know what purpose those serve.
Yeah, that wasn't part of the irrigation system, I don't think. I have no explanation for spike room.
Yeah, it's like, Bowser's Castle again, just a trap room, basically.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
I love timing my rolls through this, though.
Oh, through the fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very satisfying. And it's fun for PvP, tricking people to go in there the few times I've done a little bit of it. And you can also trick the ironclads into it.
Yeah.
And they have surprisingly low fire resistance for where they've chosen to live. Mm-hmm. But you can turn off those things by going up this ladder to Igol's idol, mm-hmm. is the bonfire who we think is the king. And you should do this because this area is one of the coolest. You're in the head of a giant bull statue.
Yeah.
Looking out of its eye holes.
Yeah.
Out onto this smaller kind of guardhouse or whatever this next area is. Mm. And it looks really cool. This is just a cool area.
Yeah, you're up in big techs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys feel that the fire off switch is a little bit too easy for Dark Souls, though? It just feels like it eliminates so many of your problems that it might be too much of a break. There's no real downside to throwing it.
I think it's so close to the end that it's almost okay, you've earned this.
Mm, okay.
And it affects so little in the rest of the area.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining, but I'm just wondering if it's a little too forgiving.
It's probably close to, we keep stumbling upon things that made more sense without linked bonfires.
Yeah.
And as it is, when you get to it and you turn off the fire, it doesn't really matter. All it is doing is turning off fire for one area that you're going to go through.
Yeah.
You'd have no reason to ever backtrack, really. If you couldn't teleport between bonfires necessarily, then it would be a much more I made it all the way through. They're trying to make it a little bit easier to make it back. And I would be into it. But with the teleporting through bonfires, it feels a little bit kind of pointless. You get a sense of relief for turning it off, but turning it off really doesn't do much for you.
Yeah.
So. Lightning shortbow, though.
Yeah.
You can get down here, which is useful. Getting an infused weapon. That's
plus,
nice.
Plus three,
yeah. Or plus one, I think.
I think it's plus three.
I wouldn't fight you on that if I wasn't pretty sure.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know who side. I don't know who to side with.
I get you
stop.
Every other weekend.
Who's running me tapes to Blockbuster? That's what I want to know.
Old Iron Dad. But after you leave this area. You had to do one more Turtle Knight, and you're on this pathway to the end boss, which you should definitely turn around and see this gigantic metal bull statue gripping the keep.
I didn't see that until recently, actually. Like, I totally missed that I was climbing out of a giant bull's head until my last playthrough.
I just
never looked behind me.
It's so big that you actually have to be, like, right on the fog wall to see it in its entirety.
Yeah. Yeah, and it looks like some lore people, I think this might be in Dave Klein's video, suppose that this is possibly a demon that is pulling the keep down. Like, it's gripping the side of the keep, if you look at it, which is really interesting. I don't necessarily think this was a demon. I think it's ornamental because they, you know, built a fun little room inside it with switches.
But yeah, I think the gripping of the tower is symbolic. Like, I clutch this, I own it, it is mine.
Yeah.
Because it's all about greed.
Yeah,
exactly. It just speaks to, you know, like an aesthetic that he has of control. You know, like if he's symbolized by the bull, here is the bull literally just, you know, gripping this whole thing, this kingdom. Yeah.
It's kind of weird that this was not like a gold, like Midas style story for the game, because iron is not the most valuable of elements, you know?
Well, yeah, rust is stronger than
it symbolizes power, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah. Or in a very militaristic, you know, society like this. Like iron,
true, yeah.
You know, would
like,
be
utility is better than ornament in this society.
Yeah,
yeah.
In a falling society, I guess.
Yeah, something that I didn't, you know, point out, but it's pretty cool. As you get deeper into the keep, you actually see the areas that still have iron on them. Item descriptions kind of reveal that. Oh, this, you know, like the pyramids used to be covered in gold, except, you know, people who passed by and grave robbers stripped what they could, and the areas where you get to, it's where they were thwarted. You know, whenever you see iron still on the walls, it was places where nobody else was able to get to before you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty neat. Uh-huh. And you head through this fog gate. Into the our fourth and final great old one.
Yeah,
the old Iron King.
He is basically the devil.
Yeah.
El Diablo.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
I like him.
He's the mascot for Dungeon Keeper. Like, he's just coming up and shooting you with the net purchases and stuff.
Yeah. I have to say, he's the least imaginative of the Dark Souls 2 bosses, I think, but I like how just goofy it is to fight the devil, a giant devil, in lava.
He's a ball.
Like I said, I like this level because of how gamey and ridiculous it is, not for any, you know, significant dramatic reasons.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. He does look like the Balrog. Mm-hmm. For sure.
And he might be the biggest enemy that you fight, because you only see a very small portion of him. He's kind of like Ceaseless in that way.
Yeah, you're just fighting him chest deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how deep is that lava? Like, if you know, this is going up to his nipple, like, more or less. Like, that's pretty cool.
And also, how not viscous is that lava that he can swim around in it like it's water?
Yeah, it's very hot.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. This platform is your worst enemy.
Yeah. What he is, like, the concept behind this boss is that he is a big set-piece boss that, you know, controls large areas of a map that is incomplete, like a play area that is hazardous and incomplete. So, you know, avoiding it, he telegraphs his attacks from a mile away, but you are limited in your, you know, you have to be very mindful of what you do to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the concept, which I really like. Like, I like this boss fight a lot, even though I think it is kind of a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
It's satisfying when you master it, you know?
Yeah, like, locking onto him will obscure a lot of the geometry around you, which can kill you because there are little holes you can fall into. So I like that. Like, he has a lot of tells. He's like a punch-out kind of boss, in a way. But you can die in really stupid ways in this level. And sorry, in this boss fight.
Yeah. And I have. I can count probably the times I've died to his laser attack on one hand. But
yeah, that is the worst of his attacks. I just there's no way around that for me. I just always get hit by it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The flame breath always, if something gets me, it's usually the flame breath or the double fist, like, firestorm thing he does.
Oh, yeah.
Because I never know what the range of that is. So I usually just kind of end up blocking it and taking some damage.
Yeah.
But
to the right, there's a little corner that you can hide behind that'll obscure some of the flame breath. But the problem is he is smart enough to reposition.
Yeah. And that's where he likes to shoot his laser palm.
Yeah.
At. Yeah. Yeah,
and it's more handy in co-op when you can have people distracting him. Yeah. You need to heal if you're the only living, you know, player.
Yeah, he gives a lot of time to heal because he's so slow.
Yeah,
between doing things, like if you survive an attack, you can heal up to full if you have the stuff. Usually, it's like a choice between attacking him. He has surprisingly few hit points too. Like even on like a low, you know, even whip fast, like it was not hard to get him down. You know, I was expecting, since he's essentially just a gigantic, you know, Iron Satan, for him to be a little bit hardier than he is.
Yeah,
yeah, he's not that hardy. He looks badass.
Yeah,
and this is actually not, strictly speaking, the king. Right. It's some kind of fusion of his soul and the demon, the Icarus Earth demon, and also Gwyn's soul.
Yeah, or the soul that Gwyn found.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So not quite Gwyn. I don't think this is Gwyn.
No.
You know, that doesn't seem like Gwyn. Yeah. You know, like, yes, Gwyn set up an asylum, but he didn't set up, like, a torture purgatory for the undead. Like, this does not feel like Gwyn to me, so stop saying it, people. Like, it's just somebody who is influenced by this ineffable soul, I think.
I feel like they would save their Gwyn reference for a bigger player in the game. You know, I mean, the reference is there, but I don't think they would make it this guy.
Yeah, if he's just going to show up. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just going to show up at the end of the third DLC and just be like, it was all a dream. It was mad all along. It's just him shaking you awake in the asylum.
Ask me about Yeah. Just wearing a pin.
I would love that.
Boy, that would be. Or it changes to like FMV, and it's like your dad waking you up to go to school.
It's Bob Newhart.
Yeah. like a 4-inch by 4-inch QuickTime movie in the center of the screen.
It's a dog.
Dark Souls.
It's a dog and a UFO.
Oh man. I would
somehow Dana Plato recorded it before she died.
Oh, I would be so into that.
Yep.
Like, well, you got me, guys. We dedicate user life to nothing. Thanks.
I'm already disappointed because I know it won't happen.
Yeah. Not just this DLC. I was thinking all of the DLCs, like the stories of Dark Souls 1 and 2. It's all like your grand, like you don't want to go to school and grandpa's telling you a storybook, you know, kind of thing.
It's like The Fall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I was thinking never ending story, but
oh yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. You can't do much interesting with this soul. By which I mean the old Iron King soul. You can make a hammer that's, you know, made of rock, and really we've revealed everything about his story. So, bleh.
Yeah, there's just not too much. To him, if you reject that he is actually Gwyn, because to make him Gwyn, you have to do a lot of narrative gymnastics to make that work, which I don't, you know, I just don't think so.
So I agree with you that he is not Gwyn, but how do we reconcile that Freya is Seath if old Iron King is not Gwyn?
Like, I don't know if the soul has like an influence to it, mm-hmm. You know, like it's influenced him, you know, but it's just kind of like in a different way. You know, like Freya was influenced by Seath, mm-hmm. but Freya wasn't strictly Seath. It just had kind of part of Seath's soul.
Yeah.
I think this was somewhat influenced by Gwyn's soul, probably. One of the but not, you know, directly. It's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, like it seems like it's less so to me.
Yeah.
And the I wonder if like he was a shithead or if he was a shithead when he found the soul and it was like one of those, like, you know, that he's wearing a Horcrux and
oh yeah, like you. Like yeah. It's bringing out the worst aspect of him. I could see him being like a corrupt ruler, and you know if he took any Gwyn-itude from him, it would be more about coveting and very very fiercely protecting your own power, kind of at the detriment to your established rule, right?
Yeah.
I saw him as corrupt before any kind of supernatural or you know other circumstances that could warp him.
Yeah,
because this is a post-apocalyptic story. It's hard to think of the game like that, but it kind of is. Really is. And then you know, every zombie story has like, oh, you know, your worst nature comes out because you can do whatever you want. And no one will stop you. When society breaks down. So yeah,
you know, the world's going to shit, and I'm just going to torture anyone I want, and then decorate the walls with my favorite material.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and a big empty rectangle room after him, which will lead to the DLC.
I was disappointed. I went there tonight, expecting there to be like one of those ornate fountain rooms like there was after the Rotten, but no, that has not updated yet. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of note,
the contractors are still working on that coal.
Yeah, it's just a little under construction.
It's just a bunch of like bags of concrete. That'd be awesome if they did that. Actually, like
that, you know,
a little sign. If you pardon our mess.
If you just saw it in various states of repair,
open during construction.
Yeah. Of note is the fact that there's a chest after the old Iron King where you find Sublime Bone Dust, who's and we've mentioned this before, but the item description alludes to this being the remains of a martyr who once threw himself into the bonfire. It doesn't say it was the first flame or whatever, but that also lends credence to the connection between old Iron King and Gwyn, if you believe that those are his remains, or the Chosen Undead or Solaire, any of whom were in the fire at one time or another.
Right, take your pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think canonically, I think Solaire rekindled the flame. Yeah. I can't remember where I read that from, but I think that's actually voice of developers or something like that.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though, so don't freak out if I am. Yeah, and that's really Iron Keep. And to a much lesser extent, Belfry Soul.
Yeah.
An area with a very rich premise, but not that much development to it that we can tell.
Yeah.
Any wrap-up thoughts on this area?
Like I said, I like it because it is like Bowser's castle. I wish it was more devious. You know, I wish it was more in the line of Sens. I feel like there weren't enough traps, there weren't enough surprises, and it's really too bright to kind of hide anything in. But I enjoyed it. I liked the hallway with the Turtle Knights in it. I thought that was one of the mm-hmm. more interesting moments of the game. Sort of like, what do I do here? Like, this seems impossible. There's a way to do this. It was just like constant, you know, trial and effort, hypothesizing, scientific method stuff. So that's when I enjoy Souls, those tiny moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this area very much is a wedge that I can see both sides of, in terms of, you know, what does this say about, you know, especially the differences between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2. However, because I am a thinking adult who can like two things at the same time for different reasons, the way that I feel, you know, I like the gaminess. I like that you know, the enemy placement is so tight that you know, it really is divided up into these discrete encounters. That feels like a, you know, like a real test, and it is Soulsy in that way.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate the challenge of this area, while also simultaneously understanding that like the elevator up and those things kind of break the immersion.
Yeah.
How do you guys stand on the elevator gate? I guess.
Elevator gate.
I swear to fucking God, like I've seen a lot of like YouTube critiques of Dark Souls 2. Like, people are very passionate about bagging on Dark Souls 2, and like, this elevator gets so much verbiage. Like, there are like, I don't know, 3 dozen pages on the something awful thread about this elevator. It's just insane.
Yeah. I mean I love Souls and I play the game so much, but I didn't even notice the inconsistency between the two levels when I played it until someone pointed it out to me. It wasn't that glaring to me. I mean, in retrospect, I guess it is, but the game gets away with so much more than that, that I feel like, I mean, the entire series really does, if you think about it, that is one weird issue to just kind of harp upon.
Yeah. I mean, I can buy it being at the top, like, you know, like in the caldera of a volcano, like, especially if you buy that the Iron King is so like, I'm going to build my castle on the top of the tallest mountain I can find. And
yeah,
then it
I
turns
really
out
that
it's sinking in, you know, to like turning into a volcano. I don't know. Like, I even went and looked at the skybox for Harvest Valley. I don't know where that elevator is going to. There's a mountain behind it, but it's quite a ways away from it. So, like, maybe, possibly. That's the only thing. Like, the vertical distance is my problem. It's the horizontal distance that you have to cover.
Yeah.
To reconcile those two things. But even still, it's kind of like, okay, I recognize I'm not underground. I can look around. I see mountains in the distance. Yeah, this is just like a big, you know, mountaintop volcano caldera, and I'm fine.
Yeah. Like, to me, it is indicative of, like, one thing that is probably a flaw, but then once I get past that flaw, I'm past it. You know, like, oh, this game is not spending as much, like, it is not making a world that is cohesive. That's not a value of this game. Mm-hmm. You know, the levels are more levely. And you just like, okay, that's what it is. And then like, I don't get mad every time I'm exposed to another facet of that.
Oh, that elevator.
Yeah. Like, oh, it keeps happening. Well, no, you know, I knew it was going to happen. It happened before.
Yeah.
It's
not to digress, but like, I'm not trying to be a gaming hipster, but the issues with Dark Souls really don't bother me as much as they seem to bother other people. Like, lighting engine, it's unfortunate, but whatever. Like, I understand why it happened, and it would have been a little better if it had fallen into place, but it's still a great game. And you know what? I like Shrine of Amon. I like it. It's a fun level. And
it's also beautiful.
I don't get the controversy. Yeah. I love it. I love Shrine of Amon.
Yeah. I think that we're in the same camp with that, where it's like, you know, it's like you said, Cole, you put it well. Like, I'm an adult. I can like two different things for two different reasons. Like, it doesn't have to be better than Dark Souls 1.
Yeah.
It's an unfair comparison to just be like, I like this thing better. Well, that's great. You know, like, it's fine to like that better. Like, but it doesn't, you know, I'm not trying to tell anybody they're wrong for disliking something. Like, you can dislike it, but the fact it just becomes this weird, tiring point.
Did you guys ever see the article, like, why Dark Souls 2 is the worst game since Hitler or whatever that came out? It was just like, it felt like someone's unpublished, like, master's thesis that they just, like, sold to somebody. Yeah. It was just incomprehensible, and I couldn't even get mad because it was just so, you know, poorly constructed. I just felt like it was, like, you know, published for infamy, I guess, or, you know, true clickbait.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna, you know, sorry, this is something that has to, that I really feel like I need to dance around, because it deals directly with a criticism of the network and all of the shows that are on it, okay? So I don't want to come across as defensive, and I definitely don't want to feed into the idea. This is going to sound arrogant, and it's going to sound elitist, but it feels like it needs to be addressed. I kind of feel a little bit like we are the adults in the room on some of this, which is like, we're quiet, but we don't see the need to, like, you know, divide everything into black and white. Like, this is the best or this is the worst, et cetera, et cetera. When I say we, I don't mean just us. I mean people who kind of, like, have the same, you know, approach to it, right? So by avoiding saying the best or the worst and trying to apply some kind of nuance, we stand out against, like, a crowd that actually, I believe all these people are younger than us and are coming from, like, like a less nuanced point of view. And so by contrast, that does make us the adults in the room and kind of like not the loudest, you know, like voice of it. And that's why I get frustrated reading that, because like, well, no, actually, it's more complicated than you think.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I saw the exact same thing happen when Fallout New Vegas came out, and I love Fallout 3. And I will say Fallout New Vegas is a much better game, but I still enjoyed Fallout 3. But when New Vegas came out, they're like, oh, Fallout 3 was trash. I hated every 200 hours I played of that game. It's like, well, obviously, like, you got something out of it. Just like, it had problems, but just because a slightly better thing exists doesn't mean that, like, it is now completely invalid and, you know, you should cast your scorn upon it.
I think ranking things is a young man's game, by which I recognize that I am 26 goddamn years old. And, you know, not like an old man, but like, I just like that, like that is so, it's such a fruitless effort.
Well, it's weird. Right. Like it's the hyperbole of it that bothers me. Like it is fine to like one thing more than another thing.
Yeah.
It's just the extremism, like this is the best and this is the worst. That's annoying.
Okay.
And you know, that's the part that bothers me.
So
like
ranking things and then yelling about them is a young man's game.
Or just ranking them. Like, you know, something can be like, you know, it's, this is like an old game journalism thing, but you know, like something can be a 9 and something can be an 8.5 and they're very close and you can like one of them better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to rank it, it's just this weird way of everything is 10 or 1.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part of it that bothers me. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it really is just like not getting over these certain things. Like, God, like don't be no mutants allowed. Like you like
oh,
any,
those guys,
if you're gonna
yeah.
be a fan yeah of anything, like try not to be the worst parts of that community, and that's why
are they still mad
probably they're probably furious.
Yeah.
Can I go one step further, Gary?
Yeah,
don't be a fan.
yeah
like don't, like, you know, don't mistake me, I am not a part of the Dark Souls fandom. Like, the notion of fandom is such a poisonous. It's such like the ground has been salted.
Like, I don't like unjustified loyalty in any facet of life, let alone video games.
Well, it's like it gets frustrating. Like it's a weird point to make because, like, you know, you are a Dark Souls fan.
I know.
It's just you're not like what it is you identify with more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Like I was having a mild Twitter debate with network person Dennis, who was complaining about people making fun of sports. Uh-huh. And was just saying that, like, oh, you know, you keep making the same stupid joke, da da da. And then we kind of went back and forth on it. And I was like, oh, you know, it's ubiquitous, and that's the price of ubiquity. Like, people are going to dislike it. Mm-hmm. You know, your sports are still winning. But he was just saying, like, you know, you would agree that it's not the kind of thing to define yourself by. And I'm like, yeah, you know what it is that, like, these shitheads, these gaming shitheads, define themselves by one thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas in real life, it is better to be a complex person who understands the measure of, like, I really love the Souls games. Uh-huh. I really fucking love these games. Like, we, you know, have committed however many hours to them. I really love them. Uh-huh. I'm also, like, just a person that likes other things and, you know, goes to school and goes to work and meets people and talks to things. And, like, I'm just, try to be a complete person.
Yeah. But, Gary, complexity.
Don't attach your ego to one thing and just write it out for the rest of your life.
Complexity doesn't sell. It's not marketable. How can you have a brand if it's not,
that's the thing that's like, well, I mean, you, it's funny you bring that up because I've thought about that before. Like, oh, you know, if that is more marketable, like being the, this thing guy, mm-hmm. like that is what people want because it's easy to understand. But, you know, I resist any effort to categorize anyone more or less, like, mm-hmm. you know, no one should just be one thing.
Which is why it's fucking intolerable that people do that to themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I say. What I mean when I say I'm not a fan.
Somebody who proudly identifies as a gamer, I can't stand that. This is like, no.
Listen, I'm a full time gamer, part time anime fan, and I can't stand and listen to this.
Like, and I love fucking video games. Yeah. I spend so much time on them. Like, but it just I'm just at first and foremost, I am Gary.
I'm complicated. And then, damn it.
Yeah, and a distant second are all the things I like. Yeah, you know.
So I'm curious as to whether or not you keep this in, Gary, because it feels incredibly pertinent, especially about this divisive area, right?
Oh, yeah.
But then I was thinking, how many of our listeners are we going to alienate with this kind of navel-gazing kind of thing? But I think that people are waiting to hear this.
Well, I mean, maybe. I'm not going to throw us a parade or anything like that. I don't think we're going to alienate anyone. Yeah. Like, this isn't that revolutionary. I just think that we probably attract people who are, you know, have the same mindset.
Yeah.
So... if not, you know, you probably already skipped to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I'll keep it in. This is a short episode. Fuck it. I do whatever I want. Duck feeds bad boy.
I'm proudly pro elevator.
Yeah, that elevator rules, guys.
Yeah, we're going up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our slip.
Going up on the Magma Mansion elevator.
Living it up while we're going up. Come on.
Yeah.
That might be the longest wrap up we've ever done.
That's a long wrap up.
So many soapboxes were distributed.
Yeah. I will own that, you guys. I will own that.
What are we doing next time, Cole? What are we going to rant about next time?
We're going to rant about Dragonlight Castle. And also, I guess, the Shrine of Winter, maybe. But since we have all four of the Great Old One Souls, why not?
Yeah, we're heading into Dragon Lake, which will be a cool episode.
Yeah.
Not totally sure who's going to be joining us. I have a couple. Hooks out in the ocean, to use a fish metaphor, and so we will see, but we will be joined by somebody great.
Mm-hmm.
Just you wait. And how can people find you, Bob?
I'm at Bob Servo on Twitter, BobServo. I also am the senior writer for US Gamer, that's usgamer.net, and I am a writer for Something Awful. Been doing that for a long ass time, so please go to Something Awful, and I think that's about it for me.
Mm-hmm. And go find that guy who archived all the old Retronauts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. I host a podcast called, called Retronauts, for God's sakes. I've been off for a few weeks, so forgive me for forgetting. But, go to Retronauts.com, classic gaming podcast. We're on hiatus for a little bit. But if you like Gary and Cole's stuff, it could be presumptuous of me to say this, but you might like us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And Gary's been on a few, and I think Cole's been on at least one episode. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good places to start, but they're all good places to start. It's similar to Watch Out for Fireballs, where if you find a game that you're interested in or a subject you're interested in, that's where to start.
Yep.
So
cherry pick the stuff you already like, and then use it as a way to discover new stuff you didn't know you liked.
Yeah, exactly. No, highly recommended. As far as we go, you can, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you go to patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. You want to support us financially. Mm-hmm. If you want to just get in touch and carry on the conversation, you can go to duckfeed.tv/contact.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/bonfiresidechat.
Yep. If we fucked anything up this week, use that contact page to send us in follow up, and we will correct ourselves because you know, we pride ourselves. Yeah. So that's
how mad
possible.
Are you about the elevator thing? Yeah. Or about our elevator thing? Yeah. So if you want to tell us to go
send
fuck ourselves,
send me your death threats. I need some news this month. I've only gotten one so far, and the box is a little empty.
You've gotten an honest to God death threat?
Oh. Yeah, that was insane.
I've gotten a kill yourself, which I feel like is a coward's death threat because they know they'll get in trouble if they say I'll kill you. So. Yeah. They'll do the one that doesn't get them in as much hot water.
It's so weird, though. It's about something awful.
Was it?
It's about your goofy something awful, you know, article.
I think it's secretly because I give an anime game a bad review, and you never want to do that if you're a public figure.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't like anime, guys. Tell me to kill myself. I can count the number of animes I like on one hand.
Yeah.
Do what I want.
On that Patreon note, we're coming up on the end of the month. If you're listening to this pretty soon after it comes out, we're going to be doing the Duck Feed Live, the video stream. And unless plans fall through, this is going to be a very special episode because my brother Chris from Those Damn Ross Kids is going to be on the episode. So submit your questions there.
Yeah, if you don't know why that's great, just like find any of Those Damn Ross Kids and listen to it. Like just any sample, I feel like will get across why their dynamic is something I'm looking forward to sitting through. Like I'm seriously considering like not doing anything and just kind of like eating popcorn, like doing that something awful emote that's like just the sitting and watching, and then just
with your dead eyes staring out to the distance.
Yeah, just keep going. If I could somehow make the live stream show me do it every once in a while without talking, I might. So that's going to be real fun. Mm-hmm. And and I'm personally, right when we started recording, if you donate the Patreon at a certain level, you get a postcard every month. And this month's is for my blog, The Infinity Engineers. And I'm drawing a Dungeons and Dragons monster on every postcard.
Yeah.
So you want in on that. It's fun. I already got Bullet, Aboleth, Beholder, Crypt Lord. All
the greats. Speaking of D&D, Gary, you were on Retronauts recently for Planescape.
Yeah,
our Planescape,
I think that's
episode.
A good entry point. That's a good episode, and also if you already like me, as a good, I'm on there. Yeah. So, yeah, I liked all the episodes I've done of that. I like the Another World one a lot too.
Yeah,
I like that. Lots of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then is there anything else, Plugsy?
No, that's been a pretty long admin.
Yeah. Long admin of sorts. long admin of sorts. But thank you for listening. And until next time, what should they do?
They should seek misery.
Mm-hmm.
Lest this land swallow them whole.
Mombasa.
Mombasa.
And we all pray that we will have far more soon.